This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Here in the Northern Rockies, dark winter months are outlasted in basements, dens, and nooks where kindred souls gather together to share intel, swap fly patterns, and relive the memories from seasons past. This gathering spot, known locally as the February Room, is the inspiration for this podcast. No matter the season, the door is always open to those with a fly fishing story to tell. Brought to you by CD Fishing USA, the North American distributor for composite development fly rods and accessories. 40 years of Kiwi ingenuity and graphite technology now available at cd-fishing.us or your local CD USA dealer. Follow us on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. And remember to go fishing. Here's your host, the Carnops, and this is the February Room.
As anyone who has lived here can attest, springtime is largely a farce along the Rocky Mountain front. And if you want some real warmth, you need to head south, as many anglers and guides well know. As I understand it, our guest today should have received a recent dose of vitamin D. She recently returned from a trip to Mexico. Carly Rowland, welcome to the February Room.
Thank you, thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us. As I mentioned, you just got back from somewhere in Mexico, and I think I saw a picture of a pretty awesome-looking permit. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. So we were at Playa Blanca Lodge, where our owners of Trout Hunter, Rich and John, they've been hosting trips there for a while. So I was lucky enough to go down there for a week with them on one of their hosted trips and bring a couple of my clients. And it was an insane week of permit fishing. I mean, it was crazy. I was spoiled. It was my first permit.
Was that your first time permit fishing?
No. Well, I went to Cuba 2 years ago and I permit fished pretty much the entire week, and I probably had 3 shots, and I wouldn't even say a single followed. And then I caught in Mexico, it was insane. I mean, I landed 4 for the week and broke off one, came unbuttoned on another, and had a lot of follows. And that's all I did the entire week, but it was crazy.
Wow, that is awesome. So you guys obviously had good weather for permit fishing down there.
You know what? The weather actually wasn't very good. Our first day was cloudy, but the fish just wanted to eat. I mean, if you could put a fly in front of their head, like in front of their mouths, they're going to eat it, which isn't, from what I hear, not typical at all. It was just, so it was really hard to find them. Three out of the 6 days, I made maybe one cast because you couldn't see anything. It was so cloudy. One day we didn't even start until 11 because the rain and thunderstorms were so bad. And then my first day, it was a pretty good weather day, but it was still, you would only get about a half day of sun, and then the rest you can't see anything. once those clouds are out. But overall, the fish we saw, they'd eat it, which is crazy. I mean, one of the days I saw one fish, one cast, ate it and just got lucky.
Oh, that's awesome. I have, I'm on the other side of the fence. I've been, I've been permit fishing multiple times and I've casted over 100 of them. Never landed a good one. I've never been down there when they would eat the fly. Like, it just, you know, it's been the typical permit scene where there's been, I've been on trips with really experienced permit anglers. And I think one guy caught one week we were down there. Maybe I saw one, my buddy caught one, when I was with him, which was awesome. Wow. To land, what'd you say? You landed four?
Yeah, I landed four. My boyfriend got three and we hooked 12 total for the week.
So. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was crazy.
What's the name of it? This is, which lodge is this? Playa? There's so many playas. I can't keep them straight. Which one is this? I know.
So this is Playa Blanca, which is the sister lodge of Casablanca, which a lot are more familiar with. So it's a little further north of Casablanca.
So but is this south of Tulum?
I think it has to be south of Tulum. I'm like, don't really know where Tulum is. Tulum is south of Cancun, or is it right next to Cancun?
It's south of Cancun.
Then yeah, we're definitely south.
Okay, and that lodge has been there for a long time, but was recently renovated or something, am I right?
I know it's been there for, I believe, 27 years, which is as long as one of the guides. He said he's been there since the get-go, so, and I'm sure it's been renovated. It's beautiful, but honestly, wrong person to ask, because it was my first time there, but it was incredible.
Well, I'm pretty sure I fished there, about half a dozen years ago. We were down in Tulum, just kind of on a DIY trip, really. It was just a vacation. And you know, I'd do some fishing out in front of our palapa. And there were permit around. There was bonefish around. There were cuda around. And then we booked one day at Playa Blanca
nice.
With a guy that had been there forever. But when we were there, it had just rained a ton, and there weren't many fish around. I think we only saw one or two permit, but, yeah, it had been my understanding that that's one of the best places to go. You know, when it's happening, the permit fishing can be just amazing down there. It sounds like you hit it on the nose. That's incredible.
Yeah. We got so lucky. The first day was like tailing permit everywhere and I didn't really know what I was doing. You know, it was my first time really fishing for permit and just got lucky. And then, yeah, the next day was total wash. And I don't think I made a cast. I think my boyfriend made one cast that day just because the weather was pretty bad. And then I didn't see a tailing permit the rest of the week. But, man, when we saw them, they wanted to eat. So it was incredible. I'm like still kind of shaken about it. I'm like, I wish I was in Mexico, but that's okay.
Congratulations. That's really cool. Yeah, I had... two of my buddies just got back from Belize and they just didn't have good weather at all. They said it was overcast and you couldn't see the fish and it was just, neither of them caught a permit.
Yeah.
A week of fishing. That is awesome. I'm going to have to go back down there and give it another go one of these years. I'm kind of mad at permit right now. I needed a break from them.
It's fair. I'm sure I'll be mad at them. I just got spoiled. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? This stuff's easy. And then everyone's like, oh, I'm going to strangle you. Like, I mean, I know it's not easy. I had my taste of Cuba and all I did was permit fish and skipped out on tarpon and bonefish and snook and everything. And casted my fly rod, like I said, maybe three times. So
you paid your dues a little bit.
A little bit, but I'm sure I'll pay my dues in the future.
Yeah, they're, you know, permit fishing is a lot like winter steelhead fishing, I think.
yes.
In terms of, yeah, you can't really go expecting success. And if you expect success, you should go fish for something else.
Exactly. 'Cause really
it's really just about the experience. And what's so awesome about permit fishing is even if you're not catching them, you know, the trips I've been on, I've had lots of opportunities,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's not, it doesn't deter you when you're not getting them if you're getting shots at them because it's super fun and it's really cool to experience that. Whereas, you know, after 5 days of blind casting for winter steelhead, You're like, all right, it might be time to reel it up and go home.
Yeah, when you have those moments and you're just in some really deep, cold water and it's raining and you're soaking wet. You're like, what am I doing here? Like, I haven't had a grab in 6 days. When you're soaking, right. It gets cold, but I'm about to go do that in 2 weeks and punish myself there, so.
Well, maybe your good fortune will carry on with you.
Maybe. I think so.
Carly, are you from Bozeman originally?
No, I'm actually from Utah originally, and went to school in Seattle after college. I was supposed to do a gap year in Bozeman, worked for a fly shop there, and then I did a year in Bozeman, went back to Seattle, worked for a fly shop there for 2 years, and then moved to Idaho.
And as I understand it, you have kind of a long history on the Henry's Fork with your family fishing there?
Yeah, so I'm really lucky. This one's a little extra sentimental. My grandpa just passed away, but...
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, it's okay. I think that's why I've had such good juju.
Right.
I mean, he was definitely there helping us out with permit. But so my great-grandparents on my dad's side bought a cabin in Island Park, and then they've passed it down. And so my grandpa and grandma have the cabin now. It's shared between all the siblings and kind of a lot of family members, but that's where my grandpa taught my dad and where he taught us, and it's just been kind of passed down for multiple generations, so super lucky.
And now you're a guide on the river?
Yeah, which is crazy to think about.
That's really cool.
I mean, I would have never, A, thought I'd be a fly fishing guide, and then B, would be in Island Park when I was, you know, I was a little kid, riding my bike to the gas station to rent movies and buy some sour candies, and so I, like, live across the street from that gas station now. It's super weird.
How cool. You guide for Trout Hunter Lodge, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And as I understand it, you were the first female guide for Trout Hunter Lodge. Is that accurate?
That is, which is crazy, but we need more girl guides even applying. It'd be, so if there's any girls out there, or women looking to guide, I mean, I'm always looking to have more. There's plenty of room.
I bet you'll be seeing more of them in the coming years.
I hope so. It'd be fun to split up my dude fest, so.
And then I read, too, that you're also an accomplished baker.
Oh, my God, yeah. So I, my mom is this incredible baker, and so when I'm, I guess, not fishing or when I'm at home, it's baking pies, cookies, breads, anything. I love baking and cooking.
So do you provide these homemade goodies on some of your guide trips?
I do. I do, actually, quite a bit. Guide season's getting crazier and crazier, and I have a couple, I don't know, 30, 40-day runners, and that's when you might not get baked goods. If you're on, like, if you come on day 36, you might not have cookies, but
you're probably getting some store bought.
Exactly. I'm like, you'll get, yeah, something in the cooler that's been there a while, but no, we try to keep it fresh, but it's hard to do anything but sleep.
And you tie your own flies too, right?
I love to tie flies, but I honestly don't tie as many flies as I should. I spend a lot of my winter now working in the fly shop, running the Trout Hunters e-commerce and social media. And then I travel a lot in the winter. I do hosted trips, saltwater, and I honestly don't tie as much as I used to, but I like to tie flies.
What's your favorite fly on the Henry's Fork in, say, July?
Ooh, July? Well.
Or is it a secret?
No. I'm just trying to think. I was like, man, there's so many flies I could pick. And I was thinking back to my last July. I had a weird year where I had golden stones super late into the season. So I was throwing golden stones way longer than what's normal. But it's probably a spinner. I mean, I love a good old Barrett's two-tone spinner or a rusty spinner. Spinner's probably my favorite.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've actually never fished the Henry's Fork, which...
What?
I fished every river around there except for the Henry's Fork.
Why not?
I don't know. I've got no explanation. I got nothing for you. I don't know why. I've meant to go there a couple times, and then I never made it for one reason or another on my trips out there. And I got nothing.
Wow. We'll have to change that. Aren't you in Missoula?
I am, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've fished, you know, all over in Idaho, around there, and Wyoming and everything. I've circled the Henry Sport many times and never actually stepped foot in it.
Well, it's a shame. You got to make your way down here.
Yeah, I know. Well, maybe I'm saving it, you know? Maybe save the best for last or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what they say, right?
So. Right.
No, it's an incredible fishery. I feel every day just lucky I get to be on it. I've learned a lot, and I hope I continue to. So it's been super fun.
Yeah, my understanding is there's big fish in there. There's, the mean average of fish is really, really good quality. It's technical fishing. It's kind of got everything that you're looking for in a trout stream.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of people think Harriman Ranch and they get a little overwhelmed with like super picky, tough, technical, dry fly only. And then what I always like to tell people is, yes, that's what we all come here for. But I mean, you could go in the Box Canyon and nymph up 20, 30 fish pretty easily and even have some opportunities to throw dries. Like what's the skiing terminology? You got your black diamonds and is it a blue square? Like, don't even remember. The blue runs?
Yeah, you
think
got
it's
it.
Blue? Am I right? Okay.
You got it, yeah.
It's like I haven't skated in a while, but.
Well, that's what makes an interesting trout fishery, too, is when it's, multifaceted and multi-layered like that.
Yeah, it's cool. I feel like I'm on a different river every day when it's just a different section.
So the guiding never gets really routine.
No, it really doesn't, because I mean, we also have our Montana guide license, so we can go to the Madison if we want, and a lot of us enjoy it, but it can be really crowded. And then the Henry's Fork's nice because we're permitted, so we're only allowed 3 guides per section per outfitter, and not very many outfitters, so not very many guides versus, you know, going to Lions in July, you're going to wait like an hour to put your boat in.
Yeah, they need to do that on the Madison.
They really do. And not to get really political, and even if they have to kick out us Idaho guides or do something, I mean, regulations need to happen for our fisheries.
Yeah, they do. It's time around here, too. You know, I don't know when the last time you came and fished in Missoula is, but the Blackfoot has gotten so crowded. The upper Bitterroot, you know, they've got some restrictions in place now for guides. And but yeah, unfortunately, we can't police ourselves. So yeah, something has to be done to protect the resource and the experience, too. You know,
if a family wants
to go have a fun fishing day on the Blackfoot in early July, they can't. There's too many people out there. There's too many guides. And I'm a guide too, but, there's right now we were at the saturation point, I think a couple of years ago, and with COVID, which I never saw that coming, but, now we're past the saturation point on these rivers, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, it's time to have some regulations. Everybody got a boat this year. So our year was insane too. Especially when we were supposed to be technically closed out of state fishing. I mean, it was one of the craziest Aprils and Mays I've ever seen, but I'm just glad they didn't shut us down or anything. So
it hasn't slowed down around here.
Yeah, but we were blessed. I mean, we got lucky with COVID. It was a really crazy guide season, despite a lot of cancellations. It was really busy, so it was good.
And now a brief message from our sponsors. Introducing the Trist All-Fly Kit, Composite Development's latest game-changing innovation. Utilizing the same butt section, the All-Fly morphs from 5-weight to an 8-weight via interchangeable sections. Need a little more length? Pop the extender into place and the 9-foot rod becomes a 10-footer. All housed within an ingenious tri-folding magnet rod tube, the All-Fly is the most versatile fly fishing tool ever devised, negating the need for multiple rods. Switch from delicate presentations with tiny parachutes to hucking gaudy coneheads. This package must be seen to be believed. go to cd-fishing.us, click the video tab, and see the Trist All Fly in action. And remember to go fishing.
How many years have you been guiding down there, Carly?
So this will be technically my fourth season, but I only did a half season my first year. So I really have only done 2.5 seasons. Oh, wait. Yeah. 2.5. So it'll be, I don't know. They call me a 4-year guide, but I started in the end of July my first year.
Well, you always round up.
Hey, we are fishermen. I always round up.
Is there a particular trip or client that sticks out in your mind?
Ooh, there's a lot. Honestly, like I said, I feel completely spoiled, and I went from guiding in Washington, which I also loved, but I was on the Puget Sound a lot, where I didn't really have hatches. I mean, you don't have hatches. And then the Yakima very rarely got the hatches that I get in the Henry's Fork. So I feel like every day is mind-blowing just for bugs and people's opportunities to catch fish and hunt and, I mean, really headhunt for trout, which is really cool. But I think now it's taking days off to go fish with my dad. And, you know, I got to fish with my grandpa a lot last year. And I think those trips matter more than anything. It's just nieces, nephews, family, spending time with friends and trying to balance out my life a little bit. But, I mean, any day, there's like so many days I could think of like great PMD fishing or drakes or golden stones. I mean, I guess, let's say, last year, let me get you a story. I had two gals that actually go... usually fish with the guide service across the street, and their guide they go with is incredible. I mean, he's like a good friend. And just, I was like, oh no, I was kind of worried. Like they're going with me. Like they always go with him and they always get them.
I can relate to that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, great. But they're like, oh, there's, you know, he was already booked. So they're like, we guess we'll take you. I was like, thanks guys. So, two gals and, they killed it. I mean, I'd say one was in their like late 50s and maybe early 60s. And we threw golden stones the whole day and we caught, and it's not all about like the size or whatever, but it was fun to throw a single dry and have two awesome gals. And we all giggled all day and they threw reach casts and got on the trees. And I mean, I think we had 9 fish over 18. And one of the biggest I had all season was from the older gal just roping in this huge brown trout. So it was a great time.
Right on. Well, that worked out well.
Yeah.
Are you, now that you're the guide in the family, when you go fishing with your dad and your relatives, do they turn to you for advice? Do you have to guide when you're not guiding?
Yeah, kind of, but not really. I mean, I try not to, my older brother, I try not to over guide him, because he'll just, you know, he doesn't want his little sister, who got better at fishing than him, to really be telling him what to do. But they're all pretty, I mean, my dad rows, my brother rows, so I get to fish a little bit too. They tie their own flies. And then honestly, all it is like, hey, there was a fish I've missed the last 6 weeks here. You know, we haven't been able to get it. Or I finally have some people. And I shouldn't say finally, because it just depends on what you get, but I could get some random people that have never fly fished before, and they bring like their 8-month-year-old baby and their 8-year-old son. And I'm like, whoa, 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 like that was not in the notes of what we were doing today. But, I mean, long answer, but they hold their own pretty good. So it's fun getting to fish with them, because I also feel like I'm getting days off, but then I'm on the water so much, I can really tell them where fish are.
Right. So when you were working for this fly shop in Seattle, what was your role there?
Yeah. So I worked for Emerald Water Anglers and I was their women's program director. So it was super fun. We did a lot. It was a little crazy. We did fly tying every other week, casting every weekend. And then I did women group guided trips, which helped pair more women together, but then also make the guide trip a little bit more affordable when you're splitting it 3 ways instead of, you know, booking a guide by yourself, because you don't have any other fishing friends or don't know anybody, I guess. So we were very busy at Emerald Water Anglers.
But you didn't have to guide winter steelhead over there yourself?
No, I never guided for winter steelhead. I was pretty new to it, honestly. So I got into the two-handed game in college, but I mean, actually, this is a funny story. I was on the Olympic Peninsula and two sim sales reps came up to me, of course. It's like they were single at the time and they, you know, there's one female on the Olympic Peninsula and they're like, who is this?
Right. Sharks in the water.
Yeah, seriously. But no, they were like super polite and were just nice and they're buddies now, but it's funny story. And they were with Mia Shepherd and she actually was like, your head's on backwards. Like I had no idea what I was doing. It was my first time. I rented gear from the Avid Angler. I was like 19 years old and my dad's like, there's still out on the Olympic Peninsula. I'm like, cool. So I go rent a rod and they give me a two-handed rod and it was a nightmare. I mean, I did not catch anything that week, but I learned. I slowly got more and more into the two-handed stuff, and I never wanted to guide for them. There's a lot of pressure, and then B, I never really felt like I was an expert enough to be taking people's money, and it's far. I mean, it was a 4.5-hour drive from Seattle.
Right.
But I wanted to. Now I love steelhead, so, but it, you know, I had to put in my time. I had to catch a couple more, make it before I start guiding for them.
Yeah, guiding for steelhead is, man, I don't know.
Right?
I think you got to be half crazy. It's funny, my buddy and I was out fishing on the south coast of Oregon here a couple weeks ago with a friend of mine that's been a steelhead guide for a long time, and we were talking about that, and somebody had reached out to him, a younger guy that he knew, and was like, hey, I think I'm going to start guiding winter steelhead. And, you know, John says, well, why? And he's like, oh, well, you know, I make some money, and I really love it, and I think it'd be a good move for me right now, you know? I got a wife and a kid, and he's like, okay, none of those reasons that you just gave me justify becoming a winter steelhead guide. So really think about this.
Right? And the season's short and you're moving and you're losing so many days to blown out water. And I mean, if you didn't live there, I mean, trust me, I've like considered it many times, but I don't know. I just think there's better guides out there already and I don't need to try to be one of them.
Yeah, I don't. I kind of started out guiding as a steelhead guide. I guided trout too, but I'm from Oregon. I'm from the Deschutes originally. And
cool.
And man, guiding steelhead wears you down. Yeah, when I wrapped up my steelhead guiding career, I stepped away from guiding for a few years until, you know, I was like, all right, well, maybe I'll try trout guiding again. Here we can fish out of the boat. You know, customers aren't hanging on for dear life trying to wade the super rugged river and trying to make the cast and everything. It was I don't know. Steelhead guiding and me are over.
Well, the Deschutes is a tough river. I mean, when I get back from fishing the Deschutes, my legs are all completely bruised. I mean, it's a tough river to wade.
Yeah, it is. It is that. I had to you know, swim to save people. And, it's a rough environment, especially for folks that are maybe retired or, you know, not as ambulatory as they once were. Well, cool. So where are some of the saltwater destinations that you've been to other than Mexico and Belize and Cuba, you mentioned?
Yeah. This was also kind of crazy. Emerald Water Anglers, our first year running a women's fishing program, I decided, like, let's host a trip to Christmas Island. And so I brought 8 gals down there, I guess just 3 years ago. And we did a week down there, and then our flight didn't come. So we got stuck, and we did 2 weeks down there.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Well, you're lucky.
Bonus week. So, totally. But that was a crazy trip. And then we went back the next year. And I've done a little saltwater fishing in Florida. And then I've also fished Louisiana redfish.
So on the Christmas Island trip, did you get to experience the big GT thing?
I did, yeah. So I got a GT, which was cool, on the flats. And it took me, I think, 8 or 9 days. I didn't get it quite on my first week, so it was perfect that I got stuck an extra week. But I had some crazy GT fishing with one of my best girlfriends. We had GTs like all around us, and we are in like belly button deep water. Tide was coming in. I think one of our radios broke and they didn't pick us up for a while, and then all of a sudden it looked like somebody jumped on top of the water like a trampoline, and everything went flying out of it. I mean, there was just like bait fish and like little things flying all around us, and then just darts going through the water. And there was probably 5 or 6 around us. And in that moment, I mean, we were just like a total mess casting each way. And I hooked one in that one, and then it came unbuttoned after fighting it for a while. But I had some fun GT fishing, fun bonefish, triggers, I mean, everything, but really it was connecting with a bunch of awesome girls down there and bonding, getting stranded on an island together was definitely a big moment for all of us, so it's a good time.
Yeah, what a cool experience. That's great that you got stuck down there. I've always heard those stories, you know, that that some folks get lucky and the flight to Fiji gets canceled, so they end up getting a bonus week.
Yeah, it was so crazy. They're like, well, I think we actually stayed up that entire night, which was also a bad move. And so everybody had a lot of Budweiser in their bellies, and your flight, I think we had to go to the airport like 4 in the morning. And then they're like, oh, the plane may or may not come. We're like, what? They're like, yeah, it might not come. We're like, okay. Like, maybe tomorrow. And then we're like, it's not coming. Like, we have a week here. So, but they took us fishing every single day, and we had a great time. So, all in all, we made it.
It's an amazing place. And that Louisiana redfish thing you mentioned, that's another thing that I have not done yet. We had a trip kind of tentatively penciled in for this last December that we subsequently canceled, of course, due to COVID stuff. But yeah, that's high on my list. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, it's super fun. It's nice just because it's a cheap flight and it's not very far. It's not a different country. It's affordable. New Orleans has great food. Guides are great. It's an easier way to thaw out in November instead of, you know, an island park. It's pretty chilly. So, I mean, I love it. We're going back again next year, and it's a super, super fun trip, especially for a lot of folks that are just starting to get into the saltwater game or getting used to standing on top of a flats boat and trying to sight cast. So, super fun.
Awesome. Well, Carly, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. Good luck with everything you got going and your upcoming guide season. What's the best way for folks to reach you?
Yeah, it's probably by email. So just carly.roland@gmail.com or reaching out through Trout Hunter, which is trouthunt.com. That's probably best.
Cool. And then you have an Instagram too, right? Is that just @CarlyRoland?
Yeah, exactly. Carly, yeah. I was like, is there a period in there? I think it's carly.roland.
Go to thefebruaryroom.com where you can access a complete library of our podcast and read more about our guests, their fishing stories, and favorite fly patterns. We're always looking for exceptional fly fishing yarns, and if you have one to spin, shoot us an email at info@thefebruaryroom.com. The February Room is always free. But if you feel like throwing a nickel in the pond, we appreciate any additional listener support. For companies and individuals interested in sponsorship opportunities, please contact us for our media kit. Thanks for stopping by the February Room, and we'll see you down here next week.